This is Audible.
Fighting Destiny, The Fae Chronicles, Book 1. Written by Amelia Hutchins. Narrated by Sarah Puckett and Stephen Dexter. Chapter 1. Comm check. Adam, come in. I said over the traffic noise I could hear through the small device hidden in my ear.
Roger that,
Adam confirmed from his hiding place behind the old shipping warehouse a few blocks away. I pulled the leather coat up tighter around my neck as a woman and child passed me on the street beneath the dark fortress. I'd been given an unusual assignment from Alden, the leader of the guild where I worked. Break in and steal the Dark Prince of the Fae's crown. Normally, given my history, I'd have walked away, or given this particular assignment over to another from the guild. But Alden had demanded it be me who took it. It was an overly risky and stupid assignment as far as I was concerned, but I had no say in the matter. Adam and I typically worked as enforcers and assassins for an organization of witches who kept otherworld creatures on the right track and out of the local newspapers. 30-some years ago, those creatures of the other world crept out of the shadows and made it known to the humans that they were no longer alone here on Earth. Of course, witches had always been among them, but we'd been content just to watch from the shadows. Until the Fae, who, taking matters into their own hands, came out and let the humans know they were no longer the top of the food chain. It had changed everything. Governments were now run with the help of the other world creatures. It had been a huge adjustment for the humans, but eventually most came to terms with it, and those considered royalty of the otherworld creatures had been given safe passage, as well as diplomatic immunity. Even now, I was walking on sovereign land that had been legally declared a section of Faerie. Normally, my job was supposed to be easy, enforce the laws and protect humankind from becoming food for the otherworld creatures. Today, it wasn't that simple. I was stepping out of my comfort zone and into the realm of the Fae, where no human rules could be applied. If I failed, they could kill me, and no one would ever know. It was a small price to pay for what I had been given. When I was young, my parents had been brutally murdered by the Fae. I'd gone to live inside the safety of the guild soon after, and while it hadn't been ideal, it had become my home. I had more than what most orphaned children had. I'd been trained to take my place among the guild. We were taught life wasn't about being selfish. It was about giving back to those who needed it, or those who couldn't protect themselves from the deadly creatures who wanted to feed off them. That's where I come in. I keep them safe, even if they never realized it. I'm not looking for payback or gratitude. I'm in it to keep this world safe. I turned, watching the wide glass doors open as an entourage of otherworld beings who guarded the Dark Prince emerged from the embassy. The prince, Ryder, was reported to be a notorious playboy. Right up until last week, when he announced his engagement to the heir of the Light Fae, who had seemingly appeared out of thin air. The Fae normally kept their lives out of the spotlight, but this story hit every major newspaper around the world in a matter of hours. It wasn't every day the Fae announced weddings, or anything, for that matter, and this one was going up on a grand scale. Two royal houses combining together was big Fae business. The papers loved it. I've got movement. Seven guards and a male in a dark leather trench. They're heading for the black limo. Over, I said, pulling my magic around me and making myself look like one of the everyday humans on the street, just milling about for a paper or a look at the royal prince. One of the challenges for the guild was how little we knew about the Fae. They were incredibly secretive, and what we did know only came from rumors. The dark and light Fae were friendlier with the humans, However, there was grapevine chatter about other castes of the Fae we had less information on. There was even a caste called the Horde that was supposed to be the stuff of nightmares, and there were whispers the Horde King had gone on a walkabout a little over 20 years ago. Without a guiding hand on that group, who knows what kind of trouble could happen. As it was, there were hints coming back to the Guild of skirmishes within the Fae caste, and this was probably why we were experiencing such an increase in the Fae population in our world. The secrecy just contributed to the problems. Some humans were infatuated with the Fae. Others were simply terrified. It was a mess. And some just wanted the otherworld creatures to pack up and leave our world, or be shipped to camps where they could be monitored. Bad idea. They're powerful, immortal, and even with the sheer number of witches being trained, it would be an all-out bloody war if we tried it. The communications device in my ear hit static before Adam's voice came out clear.
Confirmed. It's the Prince. You are clear to engage, Sin. Chandra's in play now as well. Good luck.
I let out a shaky exhale. No one had ever tried this before, nor should they. It was basically suicide. There was a reason this embassy was called the Dark Fortress. 500 highly trained Fae reportedly guarded this fortress. Our sources told us the Crown was inside a vault that had one of the most deadly security systems known to every otherworld creature. I placed my finger to my ear. Are we sure it was the DP?
Confirmed, Sin. Be careful. There's no contingency plan.
Adam replied quietly. Wouldn't have it any other way, I said with more bravado than I currently felt. If I got caught, we cut ties. I would be stuck at the mercy of the Fae, who were notorious for not having any. I waited until the door opened once more, slipping in just as a tall blonde walked out with a radiant smile on her face. The Fae were beautiful, ethereal creatures. Many had taken jobs as movie stars or models. They were the ideal creatures to be on the posters representing the otherworld beings, as they never aged. Timeless beauty, frozen right around the age of 30. I scanned the room and found two sets of elevators against the far wall. There were guards stationed in front of the one I needed to get on. I scanned the faces of the Fae guards, who were armed to the teeth and dripping with testosterone. I checked the rest of the lobby before heading to the front desk. I had on a long flowing skirt that made me look similar to the only woman working in the lobby of the Dark Fortress. Hi, my name is Angelica. I should be on the list for the walkthrough for the embassy tour. I know I'm a little late, but the press outside today was crazy. My voice came out calmer than I thought it would. The busty blonde looked up and glared at me with annoyance. She probably wasn't a fan of the Fae groupies. First elevator. Here's the badge. Attach it somewhere security can see it, or you will be removed from the building. She handed me an identity badge that held the false name. Thank you so much, I said with a bright fake smile on my face, turning to make nice with the Fae guards, who didn't play nice back.
Identification, the taller of the two said, holding his hand out without even looking directly at me.
Oh, of course, sorry. I smiled and handed him the picture ID. Here you go.
Angelica Jolie?
He mocked. Adam was toast. My mother loved the actress, I said, over-emphatically, shrugging my shoulders. The guard didn't crack a smile.
Spread your arms and legs, he said,
his voice uninterested. I spread my arms and my legs obediently. His hands came up and patted me down, checking under both breasts as if I might have had a gun parked between them. When he was satisfied I held no weapons on my person, he turned and hit the button for level 2 before moving back to his post. The elevator doors opened with a small ringing noise, and I silently slipped inside after one male exited it. Inside, I scanned for cameras and found one in the corner. Two more were beneath the glass mirrors they had embedded on the elevator's walls. When the doors reopened again, I stepped out and surveyed the empty hall before heading in the opposite direction of the tour that would be rounding the corridor any moment now, if they stuck to schedule. The door to the next elevator opened, and a tall male face stepped out smoothly with a radiant smile.
"Are you with the tour?" he inquired.
"Yes, I was a few minutes late, though. The press outside is crazy thick today." I gave him my best dumb blonde smile and looked up and down the halls as if looking for the group.
"You are a pretty little thing. You sure you want the boring tour and not something a little more personal?"
His voice lowered seductively. I fluttered my eyes and bit my lip.
"You could do that?"
I asked with awe in my tone.
"And much more if you'd like."
His smirk was all teeth. If I hadn't planned on him falling for my act, I'd be tempted to kick him into next week. I pretended to consider it for a moment, my teeth pulling at the fleshy part of my lip.
"Are you sure we won't get into trouble? I would hate to get kicked out."
I fussed, twirling a stray lock of my hair around my "you only live once" OPI painted fingernails. He smiled, his gorgeous chocolate brown eyes lighting up at my uneasy performance. He was tall and well-muscled. His black pinstriped suit made him look older than most of the Fae normally did. His thick auburn hair sat in silky spikes along his forehead, framing his beautiful face.
"I promise you won't get into trouble. I'll take good care of you."
"Oh, I just bet you would, lover boy." I smiled wider and agreed. He took me silently down a hall, through another corridor, and into what looked like a lounge of some sort. It had a long cream-colored couch and rich chocolate-brown walls. The carpet was plush, extravagant, and a matching brown.
"This room is where the prince holds more intimate meetings," he said.
"Seriously?"
I asked, letting the pleasure of the room show on my face. It really was a beautiful room, with its rich natural colors.
"My name is Driston. Yours is..."
he asked, his eyes roving up my covered body. I removed my coat, letting his eyes travel over the tight black tank top I'd worn today.
"Angelica,"
I whispered nervously, playing it up. He moved closer, his hand reaching for the jacket I still held in my hands. He gave me a reassuring smile, as though I had no clue of his intentions.
"You're beautiful. One would almost confuse your beauty for that of a fae."
"Really?"
I beamed.
"May I touch you?"
he asked. His words sent alarm bells off inside my head, but I needed him close to me. I don't know.
"I don't bite, I promise,"
he said, moving over and touching my arm. He ran his long fingers over my forearm, moving up slowly. I gave a small shaky laugh as my hand sank into the pocket of my jacket, finding a small flat piece of magic vellum.
"Your eyes are beautiful, Driston," I said, blinking slowly as he allowed his eyes to change.
The chocolate brown turned into a mass of lime green, outlined by a deep emerald. All Fae had double-colored eyes and the ability to shield them when the need arose. He smiled as my eyes grew wide from the true beauty of his.
"I want you to see me. All of me,"
he replied, roughly cueing me that it was time to move before I ended up as his dinner. Fae were of the few creatures to feed from emotions. They had come to the human world since humans had emotions in abundance, unlike the other world creatures. The Fae's preferred method to generate the highest emotion in humans was sex. It seemed there was some truth to those old stories about succubi and incubi, as the Fae not only consumed emotions, they could also take all or part of the soul while feeding.
"You're beautiful,"
I said, inching closer as if I was being drawn in by his otherworld attributes, as some women were. I raised my hand, touching his cheek, and almost smiled as he tried for a seductive smile, but failed. The other hand holding the vellum came up and softly planted it on his neck before I allowed him to kiss me. His lips were soft, his kiss gentle. He pushed me gently toward the couch, fully thinking he had me where he wanted me. His hands pulled against my skirt and I let him, since I was ditching it soon anyway. His mouth started going slack and his voice murmured, like he'd overindulged in spirits. "Somnus," I whispered, sealing the spell on the vellum against his neck with the Latin word for sleep. I held his hand and it dropped like a rock. I stood up, scanning the room for cameras, but somehow I knew there wouldn't be any place where the Dark Prince held his personal meetings. Someone should tell the Fae being secretive wasn't always a good thing. I moved, pushing the sleeping Fae from my body and removed the skirt, revealing black spandex shorts. It matched the skin-tight tank top I'd allowed him to see. I quickly pulled my hair up and then removed the extra garments, tossing them into a wastebasket along with the purse, and whispered the word for Burn. Exusum.
Sin, you still with us?
Adam's voice was loud inside my ear, but it pushed away the small ripple of fear creeping into my stomach at the job I had ahead of me.
Copy that, Adam. It's raining men, I whispered with a smirk on my ruby-red lips.
Next floor. 20 minutes on the clock,
Adam replied. On my way, I whispered, looking at the sleeping Fae. I walked back over and pulled the small special camera phone from my pocket before opening his eye and flashing the device silently.
Thanks, Tristan. Sorry, I whispered before moving to the elevator and slapped another piece of vellum onto the door.
Open, pat de faccio, I said, adding the Latin to intensify the spell. When I was inside, I quickly kicked from the side of the glass wall and jumped to the top. Luckily, the double-pane glass elevator window didn't cave from my weight. I pushed the top open from where I stood with 2 feet pushing against the glass and removed it before making the small jump and grasped the opening with my hands to pull myself up. When I was on top of the elevator, I paused, checking for more cameras. I held my hand up to my ear and relayed to Adam in a whisper.
Clear. Heading up to the vault.
All is quiet outside, Sin. Good luck.
Who needs luck? I gave a soft, nervous laugh after the comm went silent.
I looked around, still kneeling, since the elevator had yet to stop. There was an overhanging ledge from the top floor, which would mark his rooms. When the elevator had finally gotten close enough that I could jump, I did, sailing through the air with no margin for error. My fingers touched upon the thick metal and held. I inhaled slowly, letting it out even slower. After a brief second, I pulled myself up and used the small picture of Dristan's eye at the sensor to attempt to gain entrance into the chamber. I held my breath, and after a second, which seemed to last for an eternity, it finally beeped. The door slid open, revealing the Dark Prince's personal rooms. These were not warm and neutral as the other room had been. They were masculine, vibrant shades, the walls bright red with black artistic Celtic designs that formed a band on each wall beneath the crown molding. Expensive white couches were strategically placed throughout the room, the longest of which they'd placed in front of a wall with a large ornate mirror embedded in it. By the look of it, I had a pretty good idea it wasn't just for decoration. The elaborate frame held expensive one-way mirror glass, so you could watch those who sat in the entryway without them knowing they were being observed.
Shit.
I ripped another piece of vellum from my pocket, this one designed specifically to look for hidden passageways, and slapped it on the wall bearing the mirror. Quickly whispering the same spell to the wall as I'd used on the door, I watched as a small portion of the wall opened up. I quickly stepped back and took a fighting stance. I didn't hear anyone approaching. I relaxed once I saw it revealed nothing more than a single walkway into the next room. I approached it cautiously, slipping around the large couch, my eyes searching for anything out of place. When I was satisfied it was only a passage and not an actual portal into their realm, I stepped through. Thick, spelled walls moved, pulsing with a life of their own. We had suspected the Fae had brought parts of Fairy into our world to bind the two and keep their entrance open. But this was more than we could have imagined. It also indicated the Dark Prince probably had a witch working with him. The spelled walls were a dark blue, with a vibrant green that seemed to be pulsing, moving and twisting as I walked beside it. It begged to be touched, calling out with a siren song. I knew better, but even knowing it would probably lock me in place wasn't helping much. When I finally spotted another entrance, I took it. This one opened up to his bedroom, not exactly where I would have chosen to go. The bed was huge. Red silk sheets covered the entire frame snugly. Black pillows that matched the color of the walls were propped at the top of the bed, and silver chains had been sewn into a few of them. So the prince had a dark side. Go figure. Pathetic. I scanned the room, noting there was only a single camera inside this room, and it was aimed at the bed. Yep, the guy had issues. I left the room without a sound, scanning the few doors that were open to other rooms down the long hallway. I grinned when I finally saw the one I needed. It was made of wood and very thick. It would take a few strips of vellum to open it. After I applied them and spoke the words very carefully, the door popped open with a small thump. I entered the room and cussed violently. It was not lost on me, the irony of it all. It had been relatively simple getting to this point. Before me stood what appeared to be a torture chamber. And if that wasn't bad enough, a medieval obstacle course ran the length of the room up to the vault doors. It wasn't the torture chamber that had my knees shaking. The wicked-looking tools didn't do it either. It was the obstacle course. Whatever Fae had designed it had either spent way too many hours watching bad B-rated movies or had a perverse sense of humor, thinking this would deter humans. Dangerous, curved blades swung from the wall in a synchronized pattern, while thick, 12-inch axe blades swung from another part of the wall, and fire blared to life right after. Of course, it had been crazy easy to get inside. No one in their right mind would try the damn course.
Sin? How are we looking in there?
Adam's voice vibrated in my ear. Peachy, I growled, trying to figure out the pattern of the blades. I wanted to turn tail, go home, and eat some chocolate, just from looking at the damn thing. I'd live longer. My ass might not like me come morning, but I would be alive for it not to like me.
Peachy as in smooth, or peachy as in you found something you didn't like?
Adam persisted. Hey, tell Larissa she can have my entire OPI collection if I don't make it out of here, I said, moving up to the course.
Sin.
Enough, Adam. If you don't hear from me in 20 minutes, you need to head in and report to the guild.
That doesn't sound good,
he said in a small voice. I need silence. No noise on the comm, Adam, I growled, trying to make myself grow enough balls to take the first step into the course. I turned, eyeing the glass walls. What was it with these guys and glass? I noticed my platinum blonde hair looked darker inside the room, while my azure eyes looked a little too big with the thick eyeliner covering them. I looked like a mess. My shorts were just that, very short. The tight tank top hugged my breasts seductively, drawing my eyes to them instead of the star brands on my shoulders. My mouth was actually quivering, and I was never afraid of anything, except the Fae, that is. I turned away from the mirror, since it wasn't helping me.
I needed to do this now, before the prince returned. I readjusted my hair back into the tight ponytail and stepped up to the gauntlet. I inhaled, watching as the blades moved. I bit into my bottom lip and shook my head. There was no way to get past the knives. I was pretty sure the moment you tossed something into their space, more bad things would pop up. I let out a shaky breath and took off from a dead stop that would lock me into the deadly course. The curved blade shot out the moment I entered their path. One sliced through the small of my back, but it only drew a thin line of blood. Sure enough, as soon as I turned around, poles shot up to keep me locked into the course. No going back now, I said to myself. I turned and ducked, rolling on my stomach as the blades whizzed past me. I was flat on my back when it swung mere inches from my face. I took a quick breath before I turned my head slowly, watching as the axe blade gouged 2 inches from the ground next to me. I was skinny, but not that damn skinny. I counted and then rolled quickly to the next thing before standing effortlessly and twirling my body through more sharp blades and axes. When I successfully made it past them, I barely avoided the flames that shot from the walls. Fire in front of me, water beneath me, meat. I brought my hands together to give the spell more force without needing the ancient language. Nothing happened. I hated his witch. Whoever it was, someone had used a lot of blood to ensure those flames were magic-proof. Aqua within, come to me, I whispered, allowing the magic to pulse through me. My body used the water instead to cover my skin, turning it slick and wet enough to quickly step through the flames and up to the vault door. Take that, witchy witch, I growled, already tossing a few pieces of vellum onto the thick metal door. Pate faccio, I said, even as the thought crossed my mind that the course had been a little too easy. I gave a wicked little grin at my success and stepped through the door, straight into the line of fire of the guns pointing at my face. I swallowed and looked around, calculating my chances of escape. I met a pair of eyes so golden it startled me. The face they belonged to was harsh and beautifully masculine. Shit. Abort. That's a direct order, I said, my voice more calm than I currently felt. Sin, Adam shouted. Run. Chapter 2. I reached up carefully so as not to get shot in the head and removed my comm. I tossed it to the floor, knowing if I did more, I might end up dead before I could figure out how to get out of this situation alive. The Dark Prince stood before me, his hair so black it almost appeared blue in the lights. Golden eyes stared at me, no emotion in their endless depths. He was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. Would ever see, since my life was about to be cut short prematurely. Search her, he ordered. His voice had a slight brogue to it. My knees were kicked out from behind me, making me hit the floor ungracefully. I bit into my bottom lip to keep from crying out or making any sound. Rough hands searched me from behind for weapons and came up empty. She's clean, the Fae, who was still behind me, said after he was sure I held no threat. As he continued to search me, he found the thin paper in the tight pocket of the spandex shorts I wore. They had been tipped off. It was the only way they would have been waiting for me. I glared as cuffs were secured around my wrists from behind.
You came for the crown?
The prince asked as his eyes slid down my body slowly. His men brought me back up to my feet. I remained silent. Nothing I said now could save me. I would never tell them why I was here or who I was with, and nothing on my person would give that away either. It was why I'd left all weapons at home. They could be traced back to the guild through serial numbers, and while I knew how to use them, I wasn't a big fan of guns.
Your silence will do you no good. Help yourself out, and I'll make your death quick. Remain silent, and I'll enjoy killing you slowly.
He purred, closer to me than he had been seconds before. My eyes hadn't even caught the subtle movement. I'm with housekeeping, I ground out, breathlessly, since he was now inches from me.
Take her to the chamber,
he said to his men. To me, he whispered in my ear in a strange language I'd never heard before. An ancient language, that much I was sure of. Everything inside of me screamed against the pressure that was building as everything started shutting down like clockwork. My mind pushed together as if something was fighting to gain control of it. Darkness swallowed my vision. My limbs grew heavy as if replaced by lead, and everything inside my mind went dark. I awoke to ice water being tossed over my head. I was strung up like a spring chicken on market day. My arms were hung high above my head. I had to fight against the darkness to get my bearings back. Thick metal bands locked me in place. Chains hooked to my feet kept me from doing more than just standing upright. My mouth was dry and felt as if I had eaten an entire bag of cotton. My shorts and tank top had been removed, leaving me in nothing more than my small black thong and lacy bra. My hair had been taken out of the ponytail and left to hang in my face. I could feel no new injuries to my body. No abuse while I had been knocked out. Whatever spell the Dark Prince had used on me packed a wallop that left me feeling weak and drained.
Ready to talk?
His voice came from a speaker in the middle of the room. I told you. I'm housekeeping, I whispered, since it was the best I could do, which sucked. I sounded weak. Silence reigned until a door popped open and the Dark Prince strolled in, wearing a white shirt and old jeans, which he probably used for torturing unwanted guests.
Tell me who sent you, and I will go easy on you.
I laughed coldly.
Something funny,
he inquired, moving closer to me. Bring it, fairy, I growled throatily. His head tilted, showing off his sharp, exquisite bone structure. He was simply breathtaking. His hair clung to his face, hanging low over his ears. Those golden eyes had changed, showing his fey features. Golden pupils surrounded by obsidian black circles marked him royal in his breed. He had a day's worth of stubble, which only drew my eyes even more to his sharp jawline. He was taller than the fey who had surrounded me earlier, standing well over 6 feet in height.
You will tell me what I want to know. In the end, everyone does.
He whispered huskily. A wicked twist of his lips lit up his face, his eyes still bored into me intensely. Is that so?
It is. Tell me, do you prefer torture? Or I can easily feed to get the information I want out of you.
He spoke as if we were discussing the weather instead of my immediate future. Torture. Shit. I realized my error as soon as I said it.
Feeding it is.
His hands reached out, smoothing down the lines of my body leisurely, seductively soft as he touched my flesh. His eyes never left mine. I inhaled slowly, waiting for the anger to take hold of me. With anger would come power. Only it never came. My body burned from his touch, awakening something inside of me I had thought would never come alive again. Lust. Oh, fucking hell. Wrong place and wrong guy. A smirk took hold of his full lips. His fingers traced elaborate patterns over my skin until they stopped at the lace of my panties.
I think I might actually enjoy this,
he growled, ripping one of the thin sides from them, exposing the soft lines of my pelvis. Bet you would, I scoffed, finally finding my voice.
I could take your emotions and make you think I am your god. If I turned you fizz, You'd give me anything I wanted.
I blanched. I hated what they called the poor saps they fucked to the brink of death. Fae-induced zombie.
Go to hell, fairy boy.
One side of his sensual mouth tugged up as if he were fighting the urge to laugh.
I will show you how much of a man I am,
he purred, placing his head too close to my face.
Oh, baby, don't hold back on me now,
I said mockingly.
I never do,
he whispered, letting his fingers move over my soft folds, making my body shudder violently in their wake. I struck without warning, slamming my face into his and crying out at the same time he did. I fought against the chains, knowing that pain was up next. I'd smashed his too sexy face. No way was he going to allow me to live now. Surprisingly, he seemed unaffected after a moment. I, on the other hand, had blood oozing down from my smashed nose. He stepped back, reaching slowly down to the bottom of the shirt he wore before pulling it up and over his head slowly. I flinched. He was ripped and looked like he had stepped from the cover of a men's fitness catalog. A solid six-pack formed his abs, disappearing under the rough jeans he wore. A thin trail of dark hair started below his navel, flowing in a seducing trail into the waistline of his jeans that hung loosely from his tapered hips. He was covered in Celtic brands that were similar in look to tattoos, but tattoos didn't move. His did. The door opened and another Fae walked in. As he got closer, I saw he wasn't Fae exactly. He was a demon. His skin was covered with brands similar to mine and Adam's, which were usually invisible to the eye, and if I invoked my own, they would glow and match his Celtic patterns. The Dark Prince didn't have a witch. No, he had a fucking demon. The demon was taller than the prince. His silver eyes swirled with black patterns that were common for his kind. His hair was long and straight and looked as soft as silk. It was the color of freshly poured ink. His forearms were covered in thick brands that I could tell flowed up and covered his neck, stopping just below his face.
Who do you work for?
The prince continued, his sharp eyes watching, searching for a weakness. I work for your mother. She wants you to clean your bedroom, I quipped sarcastically. A silent shiver raced down my spine as I remembered his bedroom. I flinched as he held his hand up to touch my face. An earthly scent whirled through the room as cool waves touched me. The bleeding stopped by the time he lowered his hand. He ignored my taunts and nodded to the tall, exotic demon of his. A few minutes of awkward silence descended on the large, sterile room. I watched him from beneath my lashes. His glyphs were beautiful. Thick black Celtic markings covered a single shoulder, flowing gently onto his chest and down his side, further onto his back and out of sight.
I found something that might make you talk, he said, interrupting my thoughts.
I was still trying to figure out what his brands meant when a familiar cry ripped from the hallway. My heart accelerated, my mouth going dry again, but this time with fear. Chandra and Adam were led inside the room, both bloodied from fighting for their lives. Angry tears pushed against my eyes as I met Adam's vibrant emerald stare. They were told to leave, to run, so why hadn't they? I pulled all emotion back from my features, sucking in air until I wanted to choke on it. Chandra's lip was swollen and bloodied, as if she'd been assaulted. They were pushed in together, and Adam was shoved to his knees in front of me. His shoulder-length black hair clung to his bronze face, his eyes begging me to forgive him. I wanted to scream at him. He should have been clear. If he'd done as I'd said he would have been. I tried to buy them time with myself as a hostage. If I'd known he hadn't listened, I would have fought them. I lifted my gaze from Adam to Ryder, who was watching me closely and judging my reaction. He materialized a Ruger 9mm from thin air and cocked it before holding it to Adam's temple.
"Talk, or he dies."
A gun? Seriously, even I knew these guys didn't need guns to kill. So he had to be doing this so I could see the threat. I couldn't talk. It was part of my training. If Adam spoke of the guild or gave anything away, I would be killing him myself. It was part of the blood oath they made us take when we graduated. Our eyes met and held, his saying that it was okay, mine showing everything I felt. Frustration at not being able to help. Anger for what was happening. Pain for what I was losing. My closest friend.
"Use the girl,"
his demon said when I refused to answer. Relief washed over me as Adam was spared from death and chained beside me in the other set of hanging manacles. Chandra was pushed in front of me and shoved to her knees the same way Adam had been. She was fairly new to the guild, and I didn't know her as well as I did Adam. I met and held Chandra's eyes, telling her I was sorry. But her eyes didn't hold remorse or regret. Deep malice sat smoldering in her hazel eyes. I almost choked on my tongue. I knew that look. Shit, she would talk.
"My name is Chandra,"
she smiled coldly at me.
"Shut up, Chandra,"
I growled a warning, making my voice sharp.
"Screw you, I'm not dying here,"
she cried. The prince watched us closely, his eyes moving from my red face to hers, which showed not an ounce of remorse. I wasn't as attached to Chandra like I was the others in my small coven. If she spoke, I'd take her out, and while I hated doing it, she knew the rules. She'd taken the same oath I had, the one to protect our coven by every means.
"Who does she work for?"
Ryder gently asked Chandra, who looked only too willing to give up who I was and why I had come.
"She's the—"
I closed my eyes, feeling a slight twinge of regret as I did the only thing I could to prevent her from pointing blame at the guild. She coughed violently as I sent my dark magic inside her with a whisper, seeking her lungs with thousands of needles that would stop air from entering them. It wouldn't be completely painless, but I was trying to make it a clean death so she wouldn't suffer more than she had to. She cried out as blood exploded from her lungs, flowing freely from her lips seconds before she suffocated and collapsed to the floor with a soft thud. The Dark Prince watched with mock amusement on his hard, beautiful face, his golden eyes rising from her crumpled form to my face. I couldn't look away from Chandra. She had panicked and given me no other choice but to take her life. She was dying slowly, drowning on blood that filled her lungs, because of me.
"You killed her?"
he asked, surprised, but I ignored him. For what seemed like minutes after Chandra had slumped onto the floor, cold and lifeless, I continued to push dark magic inside of her until Adam spoke, low and level, calling me by code to keep our names secret.
"Megs, stop. She's dead."
Her dark brown hair was now taking on an angry red tint from the blood that still flowed from her lips to create a pool around her face. I'd done what I was taught. I'd had no choice. I kept telling myself this over and over inside my head as my heart rate increased. I'd killed her. Guilt crept up my spine. I hated killing, even if I was good at it. To talk of the guild or to tell a mark who sent us was treason. If you got caught, you went silently to your death, as I would surely do now at the hands of this deadly fae.
"Mags, look at me,"
Adam said, gently but firmly. I raised my eyes, meeting his gentle green eyes. His hair was covered in perspiration and clung wildly to his face. His face showed no fear, no anger for the kill, only acceptance.
"Blood oath, Mags. You had no choice."
It was a good kill. Painless. I choked Umbile with each word. Hecate, keep her safe. I felt hot, angry tears push against my eyes again. Exusum, Chandra. I said the word, focusing as I pushed enough power into the words, drawing from the limited reserve I now had after pulling from dark magic. Smoke billowed from the body inches from my feet. Flames erupted from it, and the ferocious, awful smell of putrid flesh misted the air. I raised my eyes from Adam's comforting face to the dark prince's and found him still watching me. Intense eyes met and held mine. A look of respect and awe entered them fleetingly before he turned to look at Adam. He waved the gun away with a magician's flourish, placed his large hands on his hips, and shook his head, as if he was trying to piece together why I'd killed her. I coughed and choked on the smoke billowing up from her body. Flesh burning is something you never get used to, no matter how many times you've smelled it before. The smoke burned my eyes, causing water to rush from them.
"This was interesting,"
Ryder said, stepping up to face Adam, who also hadn't taken his eyes from me.
"Max,"
he whispered, placing all his love into his voice.
"Who is it you work for?"
Ryder asked Adam.
"Go to hell, fairy,"
he growled, still watching me. Ryder brought his fingers up to pinch the bridge of his nose in frustration. Shaking his head, he turned and looked directly at me, his eyes taking in everything about me. He moved so slowly, I couldn't miss his intentions.
"Bring her down, Riston. Place her on the bed."
I fought down the surge of panic that threatened to seize control of my brain with his words. He was Fae. He could seduce and feed on me until I told him everything. He could take away my mind and will with his skillful fingers, leaving behind only a shell of who I was. The demon moved closer, his oily magic slithering over my skin, leaving me helpless against its deadly touch. The chains they had used must have been spelled with magic to keep me from escaping. Instead of undoing the chains, he released them from the hook, leaving me locked inside their manacles, unable to use blood magic. I exhaled, accepting the fate that was to come with a surprising calmness I shouldn't have felt. The bed looked more like an exam table from a doctor's office, with a simple white cloth draped over it. Like the room, the bed looked cold and sterile. Shivers raced to the fore, memories of another rape pushing against my temples, wanting to allow the fear I had locked up since I had been a child out to run rampant through my veins. As I moved slowly, methodically to the table, I looked around for anything I could use to get away from the Fae. However, they'd taken precautions and placed everything inside the room out of reach of the table. Adam cried out, not from pain, but from what was about to happen to me. I prayed he had the sense to look away and not watch what was about to happen. Being turned into a brainless, sex-induced corpse was not my preferred way to die, but it would be painless. When we reached the table, rough hands grabbed me from behind and swung me over it effortlessly, as if I weighed no more than 10 pounds. A deep timber shivered against my supple flesh as he whispered against my ear,
"Last chance, Mags."
His fingers still bit into my soft flesh, refusing to leave my skin. They sent heat soaking into my bones, pooling in my core like molten lava. "Fucking Fae." "Screw you," I said, trying to hide the fear I was feeling. I sat with my back to him, my legs clumsily draped half over the other side of the small table. My back was flush against the hard, rippling planes of his chest, his heat entering my skin as surely as if I was siphoning it from his pores.
"I intend to screw you, and by the time I am done, you'll not only beg me for more, you'll tell me anything I want to know."
A shiver licked my flesh, sending small rivulets of sweat pooling at the base of my neck. I wasn't sure how long the spell laced in my hairline would hold, or if it would work against a dark prince at all for that matter, but I needed it to. I'd had Titus, a local tattoo artist who spelled his ink, place them there when I was only 13. He reinforced the spell every year like clockwork. Most witches, when they hit adulthood, were covered in ink, spelled for protection or against memories. I'd kept my memories and my internal scars. They were reminders of what I had lived through and how close I'd come to death over the years. The one on my neck was to make sure I had a fighting chance against the Fae, unlike my mother years ago.
"Lock her in,"
Ryder said, stepping away from me. His demon stepped forward, pushing me down gently, which was surprising since I was about to die. Fucked to death by a Fae. Life just kept kicking my ass. I held my breath as my arms were held above my head once more, this time flat, and then the metal chain was attached to a hook at the top of the bed. My feet were slipped into similar chains and locked in place. I turned my face to Adam when I was secured for the bastard Fae Prince. Tears ran down his cheeks. I felt for him, because if I started blabbing or gave a hint of who we were, I'd meet Chandra's fate at his hands.
"You fucking bastard! Use me!"
Adam roared, fighting against the chains that held him in place. Anger rolled from him in violent waves, mixed with despair.
"Mags, fight him, damn it!"
I smiled sadly. He knew I had no chance against the Dark Prince. To the best of our knowledge, he was among the most powerful of the Fae. I didn't speak. I couldn't. Tears made my throat grow closed, and pain poured through my heart as I imagined seeing myself from Adam's vantage. I swallowed past the tears and spoke clearly, proudly. "Close your eyes," I told Adam, and watched as he shook his head, tears threatening to fall at my words. Adam strained against the chains. Normally so composed and confident, he was now reaching a breaking point, angry at what he knew was happening. His sharp features, normally smooth and young, now strained with rage.
"How cute,"
Ryder growled. We ignored him. We both knew what was coming, and I didn't want the closest thing I had to family watching this happen to me, as I had once watched it happen to my own mother. I felt Ryder pull the magic around him, thick and devastating. "Chance, please, don't watch this." My words cut off as lust tore through me so violently I almost exploded in pleasure. My body jerked tautly, my eyes seeking the one responsible for those seductive feelings, the one that had created the fire inside of me. All of Ryder's fingers were touching my skin, sending a battering ram of need through my mind as his fae magic pushed against my will. I wanted to beg him to stop, but if I did, he'd know how afraid I was, and I couldn't allow that. He placed his face closer to mine, making sure I could see him. My lips quivered as his eyes turned a molten lava, golden as a mint-pressed bar in the National Reserve. His tongue snaked out to lick his lips before he lowered his head to mine.
"Last chance to tell me,"
he whispered. I shook my head, my eyes lingering on his lips for a second too long before moving to look into his golden haze. He smelled divine. His skin gave off the scent of sandalwood mixed with other world spices that were illegal to humans for their aphrodisiac properties. He must have been pushing the scent from his pores in succulent waves. Lips of the finest silk touched against my cheek, moving slowly over flesh until they lingered briefly over my own. He took my breath away and fed it back to me slowly, just from his close proximity. His fingers moved, releasing the magical hold for mere seconds as he moved them down to inside of my thighs. My breathing grew labored as his fingers met my delicate flesh, stroking and exploring. His eyes searched my face, watching every minuscule expression, every hiss I made from his touch. His breath hinted of rum, and against my better judgment, I wondered if he would taste of it. I didn't have long to wait to figure it out as his mouth crushed against mine in a hard, demanding kiss. His fingers released my leg where they had been making small, swirly patterns and slid up to hold my head back. One hand was buried deep in my hair, the other sat along my jawbone, demanding I open to his kiss. The kiss lasted only a few minutes, but in that time, heat flooded to my core, drenching my panties. My body shook from the need to release, just from his kiss. I moaned against his mouth, wanting, demanding more before my mind could grasp what I had done. A throaty purr vibrated through his chest as he pulled back, releasing my mouth but not his touch.
"You're wet for me already,"
he growled huskily. His eyes were alight with his own need, filled with a million stars as if the solar system lived inside their fiery depths. My own eyes felt glazed. My body was a mass of need. My lips quivered for his, my chest lifted for his fingers, needing him to grace them with his heated touch. I bit my lip to keep from begging as I struggled against his powers. I could feel the burning on my neck from the brand, the tattoo trying to work but failing. It wasn't working. I would be killing Titus when or if I got out of this alive. It should have been working against his seductive powers. I played out why I was here and who was depending on me. Adam would have to kill me if I gave in, and he'd never recover from it. He'd end up as damaged as I was. I bit my lip harder, drawing blood to the surface. "More," I growled huskily, much to his delight and my utter horror.
"Unchain my saucy little sex pet, Riston, please."
Ryder's voice was filled with lust. His eyes watched me feverishly, intensely. I watched him from beneath my lashes. He was well-built. Muscles covered his torso as well as tattoos. Smooth and bronzed, unscarred perfection. The tattoos, or brands as we called them, pulsated. Proof he was pushing his magic into my mind, consuming my will to become his own. It was working. My body wanted him more than I had ever wanted any man before. I felt a tug, first on my hands and then the clinking of chains falling to the floor met my ears. Adam's shouts sounded as if they were coming from far away, but they were still there. I only needed Ryder. I needed him to fill me and take away the throbbing need between my thighs. The chains on my feet were also removed, giving me free rein to sit up, but my body felt useless, as if my bones were gone and the muscles had been replaced with jello. My mind fought to keep a hold on why I was there, but with Ryder so close, it was becoming impossible to remember even my own name. Ryder released my face and moved to the end of the exam table, deftly lifting himself up and moving my legs around his hips as he did so. I groaned as he lifted my body slowly, effortlessly, his hands placing my own over his shoulders as his slid gently down my back. I ground myself against him and enjoyed the deep rumble that ripped from his chest. I was on fire, and he was the cure. The contact was too much, too fast. My mind went to completely numb once more as his mouth found mine and devoured it hungrily. Sparks ignited inside me, and a storm built to dangerous levels in my core. I was so close to reaching the precipice he had me standing on. I wanted to go over, needed to. I melted into his kiss ardently, needing more of him inside of me. I was on fire, burning from the inside out. My panties clung, soaked to my pussy. His hand on my back was pissing me off. I needed his fingers buried deep inside of me to stop the pain eating away at my mind. I growled with need, but instead of giving me what I wanted, he pulled back panting. The look of surprise in his molten depths fed my inner vixen. He wanted me. I smiled with victory until something echoed inside of me, a warning I wanted to ignore but couldn't. Someone needed me. Someone other than my master. It was important that I not give in to this sexual beast. But why? I ache, I whined, bringing my hands around from where they had been holding him against my own flesh. They strayed with a mind of their own down my smooth belly, reaching lower to stop the pain. But his hands grabbed them, pulling them away and bringing them back up to hold against his chest.
Tell me what I want to know, and I'll make it better for you.
His voice was rough and guttural, as if he was in as much pain as I was. I wanted to stop his pain, but he wouldn't stop talking.
Who do you work for?
I blanked, my mind going blank. I was supposed to remember something, and yet I wanted his cock more than anything else in the entire world. I opened my mouth and closed it a few times, like a fish gasping for breath outside of its tank.
What's your name?
He asked when I didn't reply. Who the hell cares? I hurt. I pulled my hand away from his, only to grab it and push it toward my wetness. Down here. He growled hungrily, but yanked his hand away. His eyes narrowed as if he was trying to figure something out. That nagging feeling inside my mind came back with a vengeance, itching against my scalp and then going deeper. My lip quivered from the pain inside my head, from the force of the pull to listen to the white noise blaring inside my mind. I tilted my head as I focused my gaze on his full mouth. I leaned closer, needing to taste them again. And he let me. He groaned as I caressed his lips with my tongue, nipping at his lip between my teeth teasingly before pushing my tongue inside his mouth seductively. His hands lifted from where he had allowed them to drop and grabbed the back of my head, bending my neck back to allow him more access. I moaned against him, allowing him to open my jaw until it was as far as it would go for his hungry mouth. His tongue stroked mine relentlessly. And then it hit me. Coming back with the force of a truck hitting a wall at 60 miles an hour, enemy, Fay, Adam, torture.
Chapter 3. I came alive like a lightning bolt. I pushed away from him, falling to the floor with a bone-jarring thud that woke me up better than the cold bucket of water I'd tossed in my face earlier. I was on my feet and backing away from the two deadly creatures that stood before me. They looked as shocked as I was that I'd been able to move at all. I was pretty sure that it was the shock that kept them from attacking. I pulled the anger that had been hiding inside me, along with Adam's, into my mind and pushed it out of my body in a solid wave, clearing the room of the demon's oily magic until mine was the only magic inside the room. I allowed the magic to run through me riotously and seductively. My mouth opened and I whispered a binding spell. Hate and fear made for hasty decisions. I needed something that could get me and Adam out of this alive. The Dark Prince wouldn't know what hit him. In the seconds that it took for them to understand what I was doing, the door behind them was thrown open, and Alden was suddenly there in front of the Dark Prince. I was beyond hearing. Everything inside the room was silent inside my head. I've evaporated it with the blood from my lips where I had bitten into them for the blood needed for the spell. Whispering the words, sealing us together, me and the Dark Prince. If he killed me, he'd follow my fate. Everything was moving in slow motion. The horrified look on the warlock's face as he stood in front of the prince, as if to guard him from what was coming, gave me pause. I could hear my heartbeat. It was the only sound inside my head. I inhaled, readying the words to take us both out, but something grabbed me from behind and took me to the floor before I could say them. Adam was shouting against my ear, but he sounded far away, distorted. He'd been in chains only moments ago. How the hell had he gotten loose? And why had he stopped me? He had taken me to the floor, and before I could understand it was him, sound came back with a deafening roar of violent voices, all cursing. Alden was screaming at me to cease. Adam was cursing, not as confused as I was.